Good day, friends. We greet you once again with our Bible open to discuss for the next quarter hour another lesson in the current series, The Power of the Prophets, all brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ and the congregation or congregations in this area that's sponsoring this broadcast, coming to your family circle with desire to offer a teaching that can help all men be free from sin and free to serve Him. Remember, Jesus said in a very wonderful way, in the 8th chapter of John and verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This indicates not alone a freedom from sin that we can have to our life by obeying the gospel of Christ, by hearing His word, by believing and obeying it, but it also offers a freedom in Christ Jesus to serve Him. You know, the power of the prophets is an outstanding teaching that proves once again the authenticity and the validity of the Bible. Now, last week we talked about the great prophecy of Daniel, found in chapter 2 and verse 44, and we showed how the kingdom of which Daniel prophesied did have its beginning on that first Pentecost after Christ went to heaven, and how Jesus is reigning as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and how that eventually, before He comes, He will deliver up the kingdom to His Father, and how that kingdom will continue on even into the everlasting home, heaven, beyond this veil of tears. You know, I'm interested also in what David had to offer in his outstanding prophecy. Some years ago, I had the opportunity of being in a community and working in a local radio station there with broadcasting, as we often do. I got in contact with one of the disc jockeys who was on that station. And as we talked to him, finding out that he was of Jewish origin, we simply asked him, "Well, what do the people that you're associated with in religion think about David?" And without hesitation, he came back with a very clear answer. "We consider David to be one of the most outstanding prophets in the entire Old Testament." So I don't know, as you listen today, whether you really thought about David being a prophet or not. I'm sure from days of vacation Bible study, you remember David being the one who went to fight against Goliath. You also remember David being looked upon as a shepherd boy, and as some people term him, the sweet singer of Israel. And someone says, "Aha! He was also the second king of the kingdom of Israel." That's true. He followed Saul to the throne and also preceded his son Solomon to the throne in the United Kingdom. That span of 120 years that stands out as an outstanding period in the history of the Israelite people. But also David was looked up on as a prophet, and as I spoke to this man in the radio station, he pointed out very definitely that the writings of David were held in the mind of the Jewish people as being very outstanding. Well, I find this to be interesting because, as we promised you last week, we're going to try to do it on the broadcast today, that the first sermon that we have recorded after the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles is in the second chapter of Acts. It begins with the apostle Peter standing up with the 11 and beginning to speak there in Jerusalem after being filled with the Holy Spirit, telling the people that the individuals who were filled with the Spirit, the apostles, were not drunken as they supposed, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, or 9 o'clock in the morning. But he did tell them that what took place there had been prophesied, that in the last days the Lord would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And we made reference to that in one of our past broadcasts, in the writing of Joel, in chapter 2 of Joel, verses 28 and 29. But then you remember when he got into the main part of the sermon after answering the charge that these men were drunken. He then gets into the main part of the discourse and he goes directly to David. Now, I want to pick up the thread of thought right in the middle of this sermon, and you can read it in your own Bible at home, and I think you'll find it to be interesting. I'm at the second chapter of Acts, and I'm going to begin with verse 22. Now, Peter's speaking in his sermon here. This isn't a long sermon, but it's to the point. Peter says, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did before by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." Then after he finishes about the death of Christ in verse 24, he then shows what God did. "Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it, or that the death could contain him." Then verse 25 brings David into the picture. Now listen to his prophecy. For David speaketh concerning him, in other words, concerning Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. So you see, the interesting point there is that David is talking about the coming of Christ 1,000 years before it happened. Now keep this thought in mind, because we're trying to point out in the power of the prophets that this powerful teaching also proves the Bible to be true. So after David spoke concerning him, then he goes on to say more in verse 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Now that's Hades, the grave, the unseen state. Neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now that's all from David. Now keep in mind that David was forecasting 1,000 years before Christ came to this earth what was going to happen to him. He mentions about his soul not being left in the grave or in Hades. He was in that grave 3 days, according to the teaching that's found in the gospel records. And so David is offering a very wonderful teaching here, but he's going to show something else about David. Now Peter waxes eloquently here in verse 29 by saying to them, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet. So you see, the Holy Spirit through David through Peter speaks of David as being a prophet. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. See, Christ did come from the physical sense through the lineage of David. You can read that in Matthew, the first chapter, in that catalog or genealogy. You also find that it's very definitely pronounced elsewhere in the Bible that truly he was of the descendant of David. One place where that's true is in the salutation of the Roman epistle in Romans 1 and 3. And if you check that out, you'll find that he was, according to the flesh, he was the seed of David. But now I want you to notice here as he really makes this point plain, going a little bit farther. All right, he says in verse 31, He, seeing this before, in other words, David seeing it before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. So he's telling them why that they were able to speak in these different tongues. He's telling them why there was this great display. But now notice in verse 34, where we really bring this to a climax, he goes back to David again. For David has not ascended into heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And then the climax of this whole sermon is found in verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So you see, here's a forecast of the coming of Christ. Here's a forecast of his death and also of his resurrection. And then the forecast that it was offered 1,000 years before it happened, that he would truly be a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you see, this came to such a crescendo that when Peter brought this out, that the same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ, this hit these people like a proverbial tidal wave. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what must we do? And then we have that great answer in Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, along with the other apostles, I'm sure, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now there's an interesting question that comes to the mind of people, and no doubt it's on your mind at broadcast time today. How could Peter get up there with people who were opposed to Jesus, with people who had in one way or another been responsible for his crucifixion, and by this sermon change their whole outlook? Well, I believe there's an answer to that question. I may not have the whole answer, but I want you to think about this. You see, in the synagogue, and they went to the synagogue time and time again, the synagogue was back in their home communities. They did not offer the animal sacrifice in the synagogue. They went to the city of Jerusalem, the treats that were made during the year for the purpose of worshiping. They offered the sacrifices there, but the synagogue was a meeting place. But you know what they did in this synagogue? They read the law and the prophets. And I want to tell you, when they read the prophets, they read a lot about David. And upon the mind of the Jews at this time was the coming of the Messiah. This thing had been brought to a fever pitch. They were looking forward to this Messiah. When Jesus came into the city on the animal, shortly before that so-called trial and his death, they thought, this is it. And then you recall the apostles were even affected by this. Everybody was talking about this kingdom. Everybody was talking about the prophecies of David. And, of course, the apostles even asked, as we told you last week, before Christ went to heaven, they said, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? And he told them they'd receive power after the Holy Spirit came upon them. And then this first sermon that Peter was preaching about, he went right to David. He used David, which was upon the mind of the people. And as the man told me in a radio station, he said, we consider David as Jews. We consider David to be an outstanding prophet. But you see, when you got these prophecies of David that they'd heard Sabbath day after Sabbath day after Sabbath day, when you explained these prophecies and showed the fulfillment so it could not be denied, then the last barrier was broken down and they cried unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? They realized they had killed the Messiah. They didn't know how in the world they were going to bring him back from the dead. You know, oftentimes when I try to catch the picture in my mind of what went through their minds, I think of a story that I've related to a number of people, and probably you've heard it before, of the young lady that had a baby. She and her husband lived in a house on the corner. They had this little youngster, a sweet little girl. I remember seeing this youngster just a few days after she was born. And there was a good neighbor that lived right next door to them that used to care for this baby while the mother and father were different places. One day, will you believe it, that the neighbor backed her automobile out of the driveway and ran over that child and killed it. Oh, what a traumatic experience. You can't run into the house and say, I'm sorry I ran over your baby. This woman looked upon this baby as practically her own or her grandchild. And here she'd killed it. Now, what in the world are you going to do? You can't bring that baby back from the dead. You can't say anything to the parents that will express how you feel. And I know when I was at the funeral service, I would have thought, if I hadn't known differently, that the one who was affected the most, it would seem, at least visibly, was the lady who had run her over automobile over the baby. Now, the point I'm making, what is she going to say? What can she say? What can she do? Well, it was just like the Jews, I believe. They didn't know what to say or do. Here they'd killed the Messiah, the one they'd been praying for, the one they'd been looking forward to. They'd killed him. What are you going to say? Well, all they could do was cry out to Peter and the rest of the apostles and say, men and brethren, what must we do? And you know, God has the answer. Christ has the answer. The Bible has the answer. Peter told them what to do. And I'm telling you that if you're a sinner, even though you have not crucified Jesus Christ literally, or as they did back there with their assent and agreement to his crucifixion, you see, if you're not for him, you're against him. They were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I say to you today, if you're a sinner, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ that your sins may be taken away. We're going to have to leave this with you on the broadcast. This is a subject that's hard to stop. You just can't stop on this topic. But we're going to leave you. Tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Be in the house of the Lord. And be with us next week as we continue on in this series, The Power of the Prophets.